Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
His resume for Judaism, Paul's, is above everybody else's. And Paul said in Galatians, I consider it dung, rubbish. And then he says that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Mic drop moment. Well, let me give you another one. Galatians 5:4. You have been estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law.
Our study in Acts chapter 15 is starting out with a clear and basic explanation of the gospel. In the days of the early church, the gospel message was spreading quickly and many were accepting forgiveness because of what Jesus suffered on the cross. But Paul was facing opposition from those who still believed you had to keep the law to be saved. Jesus came to free us from keeping the law and to freely offer us salvation by grace and grace alone. With more from Acts 15 verses 1 through 5 and a great explanation of the gospel, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
There are people out there that add things. Just like in their day, there were people saying that they had to be circumcised to be saved. There are people our day that are saying the same thing. Not just circumcised, you've got to keep the law. Listen to what happens here. It goes on to say that these certain men come down from Judah saying, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, I love the way it's put, had no small dissension and dispute with them. What does it mean? Paul and Barnabas had it out from these brethren from Judea, saying, you can't put this kind of burden upon these people. Paul did all that. His resume as a Jew, as a Pharisee, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was born to two Hebrew parents. He had kept the law. He had schooled under Gamaliel. He became a Pharisee, and he had been under the zeal of God, persecuted the church. And Paul said in the book of Galatians, I counted it all as dung for Christ. All that law that these guys are saying that you need to have, Paul said, I was there. One verse I'm going to read you, Paul says, even we came to Christ by faith. What did he mean by even we? Even me and Barnabas, who were incredibly Jewish, incredibly steeped in the law, even we came by faith. So he goes on to say here then, after there's no small dispute, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. That's the next part in this passage. We're not covering it today. We're going to see the council, the first council of the church, as they deal with this false doctrine. In verse 3, it says, so being sent on their way by the church, they pass through Phoenicia. Now they're leaving Antioch. They're going back towards Jerusalem. They go to Phoenicia. They go to Samaria, where the Samaritans had gotten saved, where Jesus went to meet the woman at the well, describing the conversion of the Gentiles. They'd gone through Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and Antioch, Pisidia and Cyprus, and Gentiles had gotten saved. And now they're describing it as they're going along the way. And it says, and they caused great joy among the brethren. They were blown away. The brethren were Jewish. They were blown away that the Gentiles were coming to Christ. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. And they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees, Paul is a Pharisee. Some of the sect of the Pharisees, did you know that Pharisees got saved? Do you know that Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night, was a Pharisee and that he was a secret disciple? He helped Joseph of Arimathea, another Pharisee, bury the body of Jesus. Do you know that Paul was a Pharisee? There were other Pharisees who came to Christ. So now Christian Pharisees, these are Christians, but they are the sect of the Pharisees. They haven't rejected being Jewish when they received Christ. They continued in. And so these Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Not only were they saying they had to be circumcised, but they have to keep the law of Moses, which means they would have to celebrate all 7 of the festivals that were commanded by the law every year. You set days of fasting to mourn, but there were 7 festivals, feasts every year that you had to keep. There were new moon celebrations. The Jewish calendar is set up by the moon. The beginning of their month is the first day of the new moon, and they had new moon Sabbaths, and they celebrated it. Then they had the normal weekly Sabbaths that they had to keep. Then they had dietary laws, eating kosher. These Pharisees are saying they have to eat kosher. They have to keep the new moon Sabbaths. They've got to keep the Sabbaths. They've got to keep the 633 laws that are in the Old Testament. Talk about going from a place of freedom in Christ, where the truth has set you free, and now you're serving him and loving him and not being bound by anything, to a heavy burden laid on your back. Unless you keep the law of Moses, unless you're circumcised, you cannot be saved. Now, Paul writes against these things. We've already talked about what the gospel is, but Paul ended up battling this first false doctrine because it moved on from Antioch. It went into Lystra, Iconium, and Derbe. It went into the region of Galatia, which is why Paul wrote the Galatians. It went all the way to Rome. As false doctrines do, they permeate and they spread and people receive them. And so Paul has to write against it in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians. The author of Hebrews is writing against this heresy. And so no wonder in the book of Hebrews, he says, the law can't save you, but Christ can save to the uttermost. All the law could do was show you your sin. Paul says in another place, I wouldn't know what sin is had I not seen the law. But now that I've come to Christ, I no longer need the law. J. Vernon McGee, I don't know how many of you guys are still familiar with him. He's gone to be with the Lord for a while now. He was a PhD, did you know that? But he had this country trying to his voice. Everything he said was kind of like that. He said this, and I'm going to say it to it, my J. Vernon McGee. He said this about the law. May I say to you, my friends, that the law is a mirror. And Jesus is the washpot. What he's saying is you look into the mirror and you see I'm sinned. I have malice against people. I have coveted. I have lied about people. I have stolen. I've sinned. And now I can come to Christ and have all that forgiven. And once I've come to Christ, I no longer need the law. The law's good. Why is the law good? Because it shows us what sin is. But now that I've come to Christ, I no longer need that law. And so here's what Paul did. Now, I just want to read these to you kind of quickly. Each one of these that I'm going to read you could be a mic drop moment. Here, people still today, there are two groups of people today. The Hebrew Roots Movement. I don't know how many of you have been exposed to it. I know some of you have because some of your children have gotten involved in the Hebrew Roots Movement and you've talked to me. They're growing. They claim that they are Jewish and Jews in Israel are not. And they claim you have to keep the law. They're teaching the same thing these guys taught. If you haven't run into them, you're going to run into them. I don't know how many of you are on TikTok, but if you are, they're on TikTok giving their little explanations about the importance of keeping the law. There's another group of people, and this is a vast group of people who have different kind of beliefs and different groups. The Torah is the Old Testament. So if you're Jewish, you study the Torah. You read the Torah. That's your scriptures. So there's a group of people that are not necessarily one individual group, but we call them and they refer to themselves as Torahism. They believe in Torahism. Even though you're a Christian, you have to keep the Torah. You have to keep the law. So I didn't want you to think that I'm battling today and going into all of this detail for something that was taught 2,000 years ago. It is a false doctrine today and people are receiving it. People in churches are leaving Christ to go to works, to go to the law. And it amazes me. And I think Paul got it right on the nose. It's because of pride. Because if I can do nothing for my salvation, I don't take any pride in that. I didn't jump high enough to get saved. I didn't do any dance to get saved. I can't even dance. I told you earlier, I can't do anything to be saved. But if I'm keeping the law now, well, the Bible says the just shall live by faith, not the just shall live by the law. Each of these statements I'm going to read you is a mic drop moment. Let me put it this way. If only we had one verse in the Bible that told us we're not supposed to live in the law or that the law is done with us. If only we had one verse that told us that. If we had one verse, that would be a mic drop moment, right? One verse. Let me read you a couple things. This is Romans 7:6. But now we have been delivered from the law. That's kind of a mic drop moment. I'm not under the law anymore. I've been delivered from it, having died to what we were held by. See, Paul puts it, he uses an analogy. He says a woman is married to a man and she's bound by law as long as he's alive. But when he dies, Now his death has freed her from the law. You and I have died in Christ. In Galatians, it says, I am alive in Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, and I have died in him. So I have died in Christ, and now the law has no authority over me because I have died. That's the point he's making in Romans 7. He says, now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter, meaning the law. He says this in Galatians 3, 10 and 11. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things that are written in the book of the law. Not only are there blessings in the law, there are curses in the law. Did we forget that? They stood on Mount Gerizim and on Mount Ebal, and they said the curses from one mountain and the blessings from another mountain. And if you don't keep the law, you're under a curse. This is why the children of Israel, not keeping the law, were removed from the land. They were removed from the land, first of all, by the Babylonians, then by the Romans, because they weren't keeping the law. They didn't receive their Messiah by the Romans, and they were involved in idolatry with Babylon. In Galatians 2:16, Paul says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. There's another mic drop passage. If only we had one. We don't have one. I'm giving you a sample. Go and read Galatians 3 sometimes and notice how many times Paul says we are saved by faith, we are kept in faith. It's by faith that he makes all of these statements about faith. He doesn't say we're saved by the law, kept by the law, have to walk in the law. He says by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. He goes on to say here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed. That's where I told you before. Even we, me and Barnabas, believed in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. We could have trusted in what we were doing. His resume for Judaism, Paul's, is above everybody else's. And Paul said in Galatians, I consider it dung, rubbish. And then he says that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Mic drop moment. Well, let me give you another one. Galatians 5:4. You have been estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Mic drop moment. Colossians 2:16 and 17. So let no one judge you in food or drink. Today, both the Torahist movement and the Hebrew roots movement, both of them say you have to keep a kosher diet. Don't let anybody judge you with food or drink. We don't have to eat kosher anymore, especially as Gentiles. Look, if you're Jewish and you want to eat kosher, I know a lot of people from Israel who eat kosher. They're Jewish. But I'm a Gentile. I enjoy cheeseburger. I enjoy pig. Pig good. I know we call it pork, but pig good, right? He says, don't let anyone judge you with food or drink, or in regard to festivals, the 70 year, new moon Sabbaths. Those were Sabbaths that started at the beginning of every month because it was on the calendar moon, the new moon Sabbaths, which are shadow of things to come, but the substance is in Christ. The law was a shadow of things to come. Jesus became our sacrifice, so we no longer sacrifice. Jesus became our high priest, so we no longer have a high priest. Jesus said not one jot or tittle of the law will be done away with until it is fulfilled. Jesus became the fulfillment of the law. He even became our Sabbath, Hebrews chapter 4. I find my rest in him, not in not traveling so much on the Sabbath day. I find my trust in him. And we have every day alike in that we lift up Christ in all of those things. Don't let anybody put you under these kind of things. Now you might think that these teachings are not around, that people aren't teaching them, but I'm telling you they are. Sooner or later, and they're growing. It's appealing to people to have some kind of work that they bring into it. It's appealing for them to say to you, well, you guys just believed in Jesus, but we keep the law. That's appealing to them. It's not appealing to me. I don't want the burden of the law. I have a picture of my mind of somebody walking with this heavy burden on the back and of Jesus in the background going, I freed you from that. See, Paul said, we of all people are the most free. But he said, I only do things that are expedient for me, those that edify me. We have great freedom. And some of you guys use your freedom as an occasion to sin. But Paul says, let the things that restrict you be the things that are not good for you. Be restricted. You have freedom. But when they're not good for you, restrict then. Do things that edify you, that lift you up, Paul said. But you're free. I have three things for you in closing. Number one, we have the responsibility to make sure we are not deceived. I can do everything that I can do, but you have the responsibility to make sure you're not deceived. If you are deceived by a false gospel, if you're deceived by a false teaching, that's on you. Jesus said when he was asked about the last days, he said, be careful that you are not deceived. That's all of us. I can't do it for you. You have to do it. When I hear a message that I think might be true, I receive it with joy, but I search the scriptures to make sure it's right. And that's what we need to do. Be good Bereans. Number two, we should have a clear understanding of what the gospel is. If you have a clear understanding of what the gospel is, and someone tells you, you've got to be baptized in our church in order to be saved, you could go, no, I don't. Because you know exactly what the gospel is. You could say, I'm sorry that you're under that false teaching, but that's not the gospel. And you don't even need to know the arguments in scripture against it because you know what the gospel is. Paul said, God did not send me to baptize, but he sent me to preach the gospel. He would have never have said that had baptism been part of the gospel. God did not send me to baptize. This is in, I think it's 2 Corinthians. God didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Know what the gospel is. And if you know the truth, you can't be lied to. No one can tell you this is the real way you get to heaven. Number three, don't let anyone put you back under the law. The law revealed who you were, that you had a need, and Christ saved you to the uttermost. In Hebrews, it says the law can't save you, but Christ can save you to the uttermost. Don't let anybody put you under bondage. I watched a video, and this is the last thing I'll say, and we'll pray. But I watched a video this last week of a man who had been involved in the Hebrews Roots movement. And he said, I was so worn out keeping the festivals and keeping the dietary laws, keeping the Sabbaths. I was just exhausted and I had to come back to my freedom in Christ. Don't go down that road. Don't try to think that there's some thing that you're doing that's better than others. Salvation is a free gift. Receive that free gift. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can so clearly see that this false teaching that people had to get circumcised and keep the law to be saved was wrong. And it's so clearly seen in scripture. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us, that we would really understand what the truth is and we would live in the freedom of Christ. And as we said earlier in our study, let's endeavor to know you, not what we're doing for you. It's not required that we do something for you. It's required that we know you. And so, Lord, we want to know you. And because we know you, we want to love you more and walk with you more. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you're here today, two things. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, John 1:12 says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and dine with him. And their day dining was fellowship, getting to know him. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Your spirit has to be quickened to life. It has to be a moment. You don't get saved because you go to church. That can't quicken your spirit to life. You don't get saved because you grew up in a family that believed in God. That's not a bad thing. There's no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. You have to make a decision for yourself. So if you're here today and you've never done that, and now you're ready, God's drawing you. Jesus is knocking at the door. The Bible says no one can come to Christ unless the Father draws them. So God's drawing you today, and you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. Maybe there's some of you here and you believe in vain. You believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins according to the scriptures. You believe he was buried and he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. But you're believing in vain because you're not living for Jesus. You don't know him. There's most likely a moral issue that is keeping you from him. And you say, well, if I give my life to Christ, what's going to happen? He's going to convict you. He's going to draw you in. He's going to forgive you. but he's going to work out those things in your life that are those moral issues. If you want to give your life to Christ today, you want to start living for him, then I'm going to ask you to do something bold right where you are. Just raise your hand. I want to acknowledge your hand and I want to pray for you. God bless you, sir, under the balcony. Your hand went up immediately and God bless you, sir. Your hand just went up. That's great. Anyone else? You're saying, I want Christ. I'm ready to live for him. God bless you, ma'am. All the way in the back. That's awesome. Anyone else? If you're online, you can pray the prayer with us in a moment as well. Just raise your hand. All right, you can put your hands down. I'd like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin separates me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Christ on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin. I want to know you and walk with you. I want to be your disciple, a follower of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. We are blessed. We are excited for those of you who gave your life to the Lord. We've got a new believer's table along the wall over here. We've got a Bible for you and a new believer's packet that helps you to know what to do next. Now you've raised your hand, and raising your hand doesn't save you. Praying a prayer doesn't save you. It's faith that caused you to raise your hand and pray that prayer, and you're saved by your faith. But what do you do now? You've given your life to Christ. What's your next step? You say, well, I'll figure it out. Please let us help you. I'm sure you can, but let us help you. We've got a new believer's packet that helps you to know what to do next. What do you do now that you've given your life to Jesus? We put it together carefully to give you the information that you need. We have a new believer's team. You're going to love them. Stop by the table, pick those things up. They'll be very excited to see you and hear about the commitment that you have made to Christ today. Even if you're returning after being away from Christ for a while, stop by the table, pick up those things, make sure that you are seeking that relationship with Christ. All right, now I want to bless you guys before we go. And a blessing is a spoken prayer. And there are several of them in the Bible. And I like to use the one out of the book of Numbers where it says, speak God's name over the people in this way. It's what God says, that we have him in our lives watching over us. The name of God is in this three times, the tetragrammaton, the YHWH. Listen to what God says as you're blessed. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the Lord look at you and give you grace. God wants you to have peace, grace, to be kept by him, and to be blessed by him. What an absolutely amazing thing in the relationship that we have with God.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.